We start hour number two. Nice to be with you. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I did say that we would go back to back, and we will. We had Mike Gundy on to end hour number one. We start hour number two by having a conversation with the head football coach at West Virginia. He is entering his first season with the Mountaineers, one of six FBS coaches to win 10 or more games in each of the last 3 years. He led Troy to three straight bowl wins. West Virginia is coming off an 8-4 season, and they open up against James Madison on August 31st. We are joined now by West Virginia head coach Neil Brown. Neil, good to have you back on. How are you?
Jim, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you, Neil. So we're just 2 weeks away from the season opener. How are things going in camp so far, and do you like what you're seeing at this point?
You know, it's been interesting. We've got such a young football team, doing this now for a few years. I think these are some of your most fun teams to coach. They're eager, very little experienced players return on either side of the ball, but our guys are enjoying it. It's been highly competitive. How good we are right now, Jim, I don't really know, but it's been an enjoyable group to coach, and I do think we're going to be a football team that gets considerably better as we go. You know, I don't know about it. I'm following up Gundy here. You know, my hair is nowhere near what his is.
And by the way, Neil, don't take that personally. Nobody's is. Nobody's is. Not mine, not yours, not anybody. And that's why he can never take that thing down. He and I talked about that. You know, if we were to take a step back, it's been just over 7 months, Neil, since you were introduced as head coach at West Virginia. I'm curious, what has that time been like? Has it been pretty much what you expected?
Well, no day is the same. It's you know, the first 3 or 4 months, you're just really trying to catch your breath. It's and trying to figure things out. You know, I think one of the most important things during any of these transitions, and been a part of a couple now, is you really need to listen and get a feel for the university, the town, the support staff, the players that are currently on your team, and what your needs are recruiting. So those first 3 or 4 months are such a blur. Really, just probably starting in May, are we really starting to really implement, you know, how we're going to run this program. And it's a good experience. You know, you only get to do this once. You only get one time to establish your culture, your norms. But it's to the point now where we're ready to play. You know, there's only so much talking you can do. There's only so much preparation you can do. You got to line up and play and find out where you're at.
Neil Brown joining us. All right, so in terms of the culture and the norms that you mentioned, as you start to lay the foundation for the season and for the program overall, what are the types of concepts and ideas that you're underlining to your players about what you want to see from them and in the team?
You know, for this year, we always set very general rules at the beginning. I mean, general goals at the beginning of any when you take over a program. So we're real general. Right now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish the way we're going to play. And we want to be a team that plays hard, that plays physical. We want to play as fast as possible. I think the thing that we're really stressing right now is we've got to be a close team. You know, the predictions in the preseason aren't very favorable for us. And what I talk to our guys about is you either prove them right or you prove them wrong. And so we're in the midst of putting together a team that wants to prove those predictions wrong. And to do that, we may not have the most NFL talent in our league, so we've got to be a team that has great team chemistry, and that's something we focused a lot on. And we've got to be a team that doesn't beat itself, and we got to be a team that plays extremely hard.
West Virginia head coach Neil Brown joining us. Now, Neil, there's this perception that it's a tough job for any number of different reasons when it comes to things like recruiting and travel. It's a tough conference, on and on. But when you look at the fact that the program has 750 wins, it's been on the verge of playing for a national or even winning a national title multiple times in the past 3 decades. What are people missing out on the serious potential there?
You know, 3 times. You're right, Jim. Good. Very good research. 88, 93, and 2007 either played for a national championship or within a game of being in the national championship game. So 14th winningest program of all time. And it's a program that's been successful regardless of league. And there's a lot of tradition here. And This was a really intriguing job. There's been a lot of jobs that were open over the last 2 and 3 years since we had our successful run at Troy. But this made a lot of sense for me, native of Kentucky, so geographic fit for not only myself but our family made a lot of sense. I actually like it. People look at us as an outlier in the Big 12, and it is. There is some difficulties when you're traveling. I think there's less so in football, more so in probably basketball and some of the Olympic sports, because you're only traveling 4 or 5 times a year. But I like the fact that we're really not recruiting, Jim, against anybody we play against in our league. And so I think there's some built-in advantages. We play a challenging schedule. We try to schedule at least one or two natural rivalry games out of conference, and that's what we've done, and we'll continue to do that. But there's a lot of tradition here, and there's been teams that have been on the brink of a national championship. And at the end of the day, that's where we want to take this program.
You know, Neil, that point about we're not necessarily recruiting against other programs in the conference, you've made that point that when you compare West Virginia to other schools in the Big 12, that you're different, and that different is good, whether you're selling cars, recruiting players, whatever it is. That's interesting to me. What do you mean by that? Lay that out.
Well, our approach. So if you look at where we recruit, we break it down into a primary area and a secondary area. So our primary area is within a 6-hour car ride of Morgantown, and you can get to a lot of places. You can get to Charlotte, you can get most of the state of Kentucky, you can get the whole state of Ohio, you can get to Detroit, you can get up to New Jersey into New York City, you can get the whole state of Pennsylvania, you know, you can get into DMV. There's a ton of football players in that area. Well, so our sales pitch to those players is considerably different than the normal schools recruiting that area, which are in the Big Ten. All right, in the ACC, those are the primary recruiting areas for those schools. Well, in the Big 12, we have a different pitch. For an offensive player, we're the most prolific offensive league in college football. I don't think that can be disputed. All right, and the flip side of that, if you're a defensive player and you like to rush the passer, what better league to go play in than the Big 12? Because you're going to get more opportunities. If you're a defensive back, what better opportunity is out there than to go play in the Big 12 where you know there's going to be more balls in the air? So that's what I mean. I think anytime, regardless of what you're doing, if you have an opportunity to differentiate yourself from the people you're competing against, I think people remember things that are different.
I love that. That is so true. Neil Brown joining us. All right, now back in the spring, you had lunch with Don Nealon, legendary West Virginia head coach. What was that experience like?
It was incredible. You know, he did such a tremendous job here, and you talk about guys. You know, he's College Hall of Famer. I think sometimes he's overlooked, but he took over a program in 1980 that was averaging, I think, in the 14,000 range. They didn't have a conference, really struggling. And in his 20-plus years of tenure here, takes on 88, 93 teams we've already talked about, but, you know, 15-plus bowl games, just an incredible run. I actually had him talk to our team on Saturday, and he's 83 years old, and he acted like he never skipped a beat. He got up there 15, 20 minutes, talked to our team. Our guys enjoyed it. He came out, watched a scrimmage on Saturday. So he's a guy that I want is around our program. His son is our equipment manager. His grandson is one of our analysts here. So there's still a ton of Coach Nealon's people that are in this building.
West Virginia head football coach Neil Brown joins me for another moment or so. Neil, I've got to ask you about your book club, because that is the stuff of legend. In the middle of all this, are you still able to make time to read? And if so, what books have caught your attention of late?
Yeah, I'm still reading. I don't know how you grow unless you do read, honestly. You know, so especially as a head coach, you don't get as much interaction on the road recruiting and stuff like that. So I think to grow from a leader in the coaching profession, you got to be able to read. So the book club book we did this year was John Maxwell's Developing a Leader Within. And I think it's a good book for year one, just because I think for us is, you know, I want to develop our staff as much as we want to develop our players. We talk about being a development program, and I think you got to spend an adequate amount of time developing your staff. So we did that. So I'm reading that, and I just finished the book Leaders Eat Last. Those are the two books that I've read here in the last few weeks.
Neil Brown, my guest. All right, then. Knowing what you know the last few months, or what they've been like the last few months, and what you've had to do since taking that job, how pumped are you for the season to start and just get some football underway?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Jim, this is why you do it. There's nothing like game day. I think we're going to have some challenges. I think that's anytime you're dealing with the type of schedule we're dealing with, I think we're one of 5 Power 5 teams that play 11 Power 5 games, so it's a challenge. In our league, I think in our league, the Big 12 is so competitive. You know, I was a coordinator here at Texas Tech in 10, 11, and 12, so I know the league. But it's really competitive. You know, you talk about 1 through 10, there's been a ton of parity in our league, and Oklahoma's kind of risen above. And I think they're the standard for what everybody's trying to get to. But I'm looking forward to it. We've got a young team that's going to improve as we go. There's nothing like a home game here. I think we have one of the most exciting and energetic fan bases, and it's a tough place to come in here into Morgantown and win.
He is the head football coach at West Virginia, entering his first season with the Mountaineers. And again, they open up against James Madison August 31st. Neil, it's really good to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for the conversation. Good luck to you, and I'll look forward to doing it again soon.
Appreciate it. It's always fun to be in the jungle.
You too, Neil. Thank you so much. Neil Brown. And I know that he has limited some of his media access because he's locked in on what he's doing. So I really appreciate him making time for this program. Neil Brown joining us. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. I don't want that to come off the wrong way. Like, he's locked in. He's dialed in. So maybe he's not doing as much media as maybe in the past, but made a point to do that one. So thank you very much, Neil. Looking forward to seeing how they look this year. When we come back, we are open until the top of hour number three. So whatever you want to hit on, now is the time to do so. I want to reset why we're doing Self-Gloss Friday. A Self-Gloss Friday. Not an entire day, but one segment, which is more than enough. Think about what you want to do. It's one of the rules of the show. There are very few rules. You cannot self-gloss. Have a take, don't suck. Don't self-gloss. Personal appearance is not show fodder. It's really not too much to it, right? But you cannot self-gloss, except on Friday, I'm going to allow it. I will tell you why I'm going to allow it. And because I'm going to allow it, you should take advantage of it. If you always wanted to do it, well, you can on Friday. 1-800-636-8686. You're a small business owner, but there's nothing small about what you do. This is why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, a one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions like computers with the Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, and thousands of top brand electronics, accessories, and software. In other words, no matter your technology needs, Dell is right there to help your small business do very big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL. To speak with an advisor today, once again, 877-BUY-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
I've got Elijah Holyfield. Holyfield coming up the top of hour number three, Carolina Panthers running back. We've already had Mike Gundy and Neil Brown, a couple of big-time college football coaches, and we're wide open right now, 1-800-636-8686. Now maybe, and this would be a good play by you, maybe you're saving it all for Friday. Maybe you're saving it all for that one segment on Friday, the so-called self-gloss segment. Don't forget, that's Friday. And the reason I'm giving you a self-gloss segment, the reason I'm breaking one of the main rules of the jungle, is to thank you for all the love and the support and the loyalty on the recent Hall of Fame induction. Remember, I'd been up for that for the last few years, and it was a great honor just to be nominated. I had not gotten in, but I got in this year. So I'm really excited about that, and I know that a lot of you are really excited about that, and I can never go in without you. As I mentioned, I'm not going in. We're going in. And I really appreciate all the voting that you did last year. I never forgot that. I never will forget that. So even though we didn't get a chance, or you didn't get a chance to flex the same ballot box power this year, there is no reason why I should not acknowledge it and show you some reciprocation. So get your very best self-glosses ready for Friday. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe one of you can step up, step in, show up, show out, and actually become the next Slash in Brentwood.
We go to Brentwood. Hi, who is this?
Slash.
Slash. Why Slash?
Oh, Slash, because, well, before Cordell Stewart in 94, I sliced my wife and her boyfriend's neck.
You don't like that cup. That's how that all started. Understand that when I asked the question, why Slash in Brentwood, I already knew the answer. But still, I asked the question. Anyway, that's the one that stuck. That's where that all started. That's when that became a thing. Slash in Brentwood. What's up, Head? Well, you didn't hear me. You were 4 inches from me. James Kelly. James Kelly in on a Tuesday. Yeah, I don't ask why. I'm just happy to see the guy. Because normally he comes in on Friday. If you're here today, does that mean you're not coming in on Friday? Head.
Omaha!
Friday, August 16th. The self-glossing ban will be lifted for exactly one segment. Make it count. Let's do this. Do not waste an amazing opportunity. There's no saying whether or not that will ever come back. This might be it. It might be a one-off. Dear Jaime, please tell me Manny Cheeseburger has RSVP'd for Friday. Stephen S.A. Nobody has RSVP'd. It's a wide open thing. Calvin, do you want to run the entire club just to give people an idea? Keep this in mind. You're not allowed to do this. You don't self-gloss. You don't tell us what you'd like to be called. You get to be called by your name, your given name. If there's something that results from something you do or say on the show, we'll let you know. You don't let us know. We let you know. There is no self-glossing. But for some reason, if you're new to the program or maybe you happen to find it on CBS Sports Network, you don't know that rule. So if you go through your entire life as being known as something or somebody, and then you come in here and I'm like, hey, Dave in St. Louis. Oh, no, that's not me. I'm Dave Cheeseburger. No, you're not. You're Dave in St. Louis. So a number of people have made this mistake, and they have all joined the same club.
Levi the Trash Man.
Dice Man.
Loney Carter in Spokane.
The Axe.
Bighorn Falling Ball.
Jay Dizzle.
Manny Cheeseburger over here.
Shot Caller is in Van City.
Lone Prophet.
The Grump.
The Grouch.
Mole Doggy in NorCal.
The Dougler.
Zookeeper.
Roaster. Garbage Man, Brad.
The Cracker Jack.
G-Money. Sexy Rexy from New Mexico.
The Red Dog.
Horse Monkey. Tree Frog.
G-Money.
B-Man. SD. Bow Down.
Z-Man. Titan Woman.
His Silly Rabbit.
Barracuda.
The Muscle Shark.
Denver John. The Horse Whisperer.
Main Man here.
Notice something different about that? Alvin, normally every one of those guys got run. See, so you hear the run sounder. Alvin took it out because the list has gotten so long. We don't have time. That's how long that list is. You know, any one of you or all of you, depending on how long the segment is on Friday, are more than welcome to call in. You're allowed to do so Friday. It's my gift to you. My acknowledgement that you got me into the Hall of Fame. So that's coming up on Friday. At Hitman Canadian tweets, leaders eat last? Well, just call us sheep. And also, could you fry some up? Signed, Beaks and Caleb. That's good. That's a good tweet. Leaders eat last. We'll just call a sheep. And can you fry some up? Signed, Beaks and Caleb. What can I get you two big boys? Yeah, we'll have your fried sheep. Give me an order of your house fried sheep. So I'd heard about how amazing Croatia was. Croatia this, Croatia that. Croatia was good. Croatia was nice. Parts of it were better than others. I gotta admit, man, the food was not great. The food was not great. But I saw some sheep on the menu. Well, lamb. Pretty good. Pretty good. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Podcast returns tomorrow. Sugar Ray Leonard. I said it yesterday. Sugar Ray Leonard is one of my favorite athletes ever. I love Ray Leonard. Managed to love to watch Ray Leonard fight. Loved watching Ray Leonard fight. It's incredible. Some of my favorite fights ever involve Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler. Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns. Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran. Dear Jim, is Self-Gloss Friday a contest? Or is it just like open gym of the self-gloss morons? Hopefully the zookeeper will make an appearance. Jim in Green Bay. Why is it that with all of the self-gloss, that's the one that everybody wants to know about? It's really not that better than any of the others to me.
Seth in Toronto. Hey, Seth, how are you?
Hey, Jim. First time, long time. But
we got to go with my real name, the Zookeeper.
Oh, dude, awesome. Zookeeper, good gloss. Where did that come from?
At a buddy's wedding.
You know why everybody likes that best? Because they all have the assumption of what it means. And they just want him to confirm it. I don't really think we need any confirmation of what that means. Going back to the email, is it a contest? No, it's an opportunity. It's not a contest. You don't win anything. The win is in getting on the air and being able to do something on this show that you thought you would never, ever be able to do ever again. That's the win. There's no contest. It doesn't get you a golden ticket. It doesn't get you $5. It doesn't get you $100. It doesn't give you a free trip to LA. For one segment, and we haven't designated which segment it is yet because I don't know how the booking goes, you get to call this show and self-gloss. Think about what it is you want to do. And much like the smack-off, it does not guarantee that you'll get on the air. Jump on it. It's an awesome, awesome opportunity. All right, so the thing about this show, and I'll get to this maybe next segment. The thing about the show is, and it's always been like this, the show's got a language of its own. The show's got a vernacular of its own. Same like anything else in the world. And maybe you saw a story about a gamer who, quote, got swatted. Did you know what that meant? Did you know what that means? You know, if you're not in that world, maybe you don't know. If you saw that headline, you know, champion gamer swatted, you know, what does that mean? Did he get smacked upside the head? Did something happen in the game that you don't really know? Or is it literal? Is it literal? Did he get, quote, swatted? That's coming up. 1-800-636-8686. I meant to get to Adam Gase yesterday. There was a profile on Adam Gase. And not only is this dude literally everything you expected him to be, but way more than that. And it's not a letdown. You never judge a book by its cover. That dude is exactly the way he looks. Like, I would never, quote, visually indict anybody. Gase is who we thought he was. At Phoenix Tree Rat on Twitter, quote, self-gloss Friday. I'll give it a shot. Signed, Lee H. Oswald. Same deal as hour number one. I'm not laughing. Hawk's like on the ground beside himself.
Put me to the ground.
James Kelly even thinks that's funny. But like, James, can I address you by James, big head? Normally, dude, I respect where you're coming from. Just not now. Elijah Holyfield, top of the hour. All right, when we come back, let's talk about some kid getting swatted. A millionaire teenager getting swatted and what that means. That's coming up. My thoughts on Adam Gase coming up. Your telephone call is coming up. Before any of that, a sports update coming up. In fact, here it is. Jay Berman and 1-800-636-8686. Quick reminder, tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, we need to talk. Talks all things football with CBS's own Tony Romo, Jim Nance, Tracy Wolfson. They gear up for another season of the NFL, only on CBS Sports Network. All pros. Each and every one of them. 1-800-636-8686. Elijah Holyfield coming up at the top of the hour. All right, so let me just double back to something really quickly. Now, if you've listened to this program for any period of time, you know the show has its own vernacular. It's got its own language. And it's got something that, and this goes way back, it's got a jungle vocabulary that is so inside that it spawned its own glossary. It used to be a joke back in the day that whenever somebody wrote an article about the program, and there were a lot of articles written about the program back in the day because it was so different, there always was this side box, the glossary, the jungle glossary, the jungle dictionary. So if you speak the show language fluently, because you've been around, you understand what I'm talking about. Now, if you're new to the program and there is still some of that vocabulary, some of that vernacular, you may have trouble following along. It used to be that we spoke an entirely different language. Like, if you just dropped in, you'd have no idea what we were talking about. Almost literally every single topic, every single athlete, everybody had gloss. It was really a thing back in the day. It's not like that anymore. But a lot of you, if you just show up, have trouble following certain things. Like, a lot of you have no idea what warring something means. Or a lot of you have no idea who the butter knife is. Or why tweeters and emailers might talk about a place called Bugaha. Point is, the show does, in fact, have its own vernacular. Some of you get it, some of you don't. But if you hang around long enough, you'll figure it out. And then it becomes a second language. The same might be said for gaming and esports, right? Words like noob, pwned. I remember the first time my boys, my kids, started talking about people or things getting pwned. Noob, pwned. A drinking term, whatever. But it does apply to gamers as well. Lag, dominant online game speak. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be something I'm not. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm an expert. But I know enough to know what all of that means. I also know enough to know that esports is not some flash-in-the-pan fad either. It's not going away. In fact, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Hell, a 16-year-old kid who goes by the handle Booga just pocketed $3 million for winning the Fortnite World Cup in front of a sold-out crowd at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York last month. Does that sound like it's going away? A sold-out crowd watched a teenager pocket $3 million for playing video games. My only question is, where the hell was my seven-figure check for dominating Galaga back in the day? When I was turning Defender over, where was my $3 million? How come I didn't get paid for crushing Burger Time? Or Frogger? Or Centipede? Or Asteroids? So one gamer slang word that made headlines all across the internet yesterday was swatting. Swatting. The word swatting was everywhere. It was in articles from CBS Sports to ESPN to TMZ to CNN. All about the aforementioned Fortnite World Cup champ, Booga. Booga was swatted while streaming. So what's that mean? For those of you who don't know, or for those of you who don't have kids who are addicted to Fortnite, and if you have kids, chances are they're addicted to Fortnite. They're kids, right? So if you don't know what that is, a lot of these players broadcast their gameplay matches on the live streaming platform Twitch. So if you're a well-known player like Booga, a ton of people will watch. All right, so just think about that for a minute. If you're really late to this whole thing, not only do guys play, not only do guys play professionally, not only do guys play professionally and get paid if they're really good, people will watch. So this past Saturday, a lot of people were watching Booga play in a 3-on-3 Fortnite match that was interrupted by the latest case of swatting. So what does that mean? What the hell is swatting? Swatting is a felony. Swatting is a criminal harassment tactic where somebody reports a hoax emergency in an attempt to get a SWAT team to descend upon their unsuspecting target. Saturday night, somebody called the police to SWAT the 16-year-old world champion gamer Booga. Let me repeat that for you. Saturday night, somebody called the police in order to SWAT the 16-year-old world champion gamer, Booga. What an amazing sentence that is, right? If that's not the most 2019 sentence I've ever uttered, I don't know what is. Listen to the first clip from the live stream Saturday night as Booga tells his dad that he cannot stop playing, only to turn around to find out that It's not really his dad. It's the cops who are in the room. You hear him realize what's going on immediately and says, quote, I got swatted. Before he leaves the game, while his other two teammates who were not in the same room as him wonder exactly what happened.
Dad, I actually can't.
Stuff's coming with you.
I got swatted.
Brew is literally talking to his dad right now.
Are you? Did he just leave mid-game?
Yes. Yes, bro. He left mid-game. He did. You know why? Because that wasn't his dad. That was a SWAT team. That was the local fuzz. And they were responding to a call that reported. It's unbelievable. The reason that they were in there is because there was a call that reported that Booga had killed his dad and tied up his mom in the garage. The F is that? Who does that? Police told ESPN that after they received the call, they surrounded the residence. They called the home where Booga's pop picked up. He let the officers in. According to the audio later in that stream from Booga himself, the officers went into the room, guns drawn. This next clip is from a few minutes later after Booga returned to the stream to let everybody know what went down.
Yeah, I got swatted.
No way.
No, yeah. Dude, they pulled up, like...
Jesus, dude.
The one officer, he,
Recognized you?
Yeah, he was in our neighborhood. Yeah, dude. Like, the guy comes in, like, I notice him, and he's just like, yeah, dude, they come in with guns, bro. Like, they literally pulled up. Holy... That's scary. The internet's crazy.
Bro, whoever did that can literally go to jail.
Holy shit, dude. Dude, I can't believe someone would actually do that.
Yeah, I can't believe how calm this kid is. You can't believe somebody would actually do that, and I can't believe how calm this kid is. I can't believe how calm that kid is after turning around in his room to find cops with guns drawn. I mean, is that story real? The hell is going on here? Apparently, any idiot can call in a murder kidnapping in progress and get cops to show up at a live streamer's house. And it's not even close to the first time that's happened. Swatting? I mean, I hate to even talk about it. She's only giving the idea to other people, right? Swatting has happened to the likes of Ashton Kutcher, Justin Bieber, Kim Kardashian. Well, by the way, side note, when I was in Capri last week, all the rage was the Kardashian yacht had pulled up. I didn't see them. I didn't see it. I didn't go looking for it. But that was all the rage. But in terms of swatting, it's never been a bigger story than it is right now because of who it happened to. And the fact that it happened while he was live streaming in front of thousands of viewers. And of all the audio from Saturday night, the next clip is the most wild of all. Remember Booga left during the middle of the match? He had no idea how it turned out. Or if he had won. Apparently this dude has got some pretty whack priorities.
Wait, we won?
Yeah, we won.
Yes! That's all I care about. Concept. Let's go. Let's go. GG's. GG's. They came in with guns, bro. I'm sitting here and I'm like, wait, one second. Bro, I wanted to win. I'm not trolling.
Wait, what do you mean? They just came in with guns?
Yeah.
Like your parents didn't like lead them in the room? It was just
no,
them?
No, they weren't allowed. Dude, and I was like, it was end-to-end game. I wanted to finish.
You wanted to finish. Bro, what about your dad being dead and your mom being tied up? All you cared about was winning. That's the sound of a multimillionaire, 16-year-old superstar, video gamer, losing his mind over winning a game of Fortnite. Minutes after officers came into his room, guns drawn, under the suspicion that he had killed his dad and his mom was tied up in the garage. Priorities, right? I guess you know where you stand, mom and dad. Well, you talk about an ability to compartmentalize. This kid's something else. Now you know why that kid's the champ, right? An ability to compartmentalize. Never mind that maybe somebody could have been shot. And I don't mean like the report that his dad was dead and his mom was tied up. I mean like when people get swatted, people have been shot. Literally, over something like that. Others have been. But my man, he's not concerned about that. He's concerned about the win. He is locked in. Now, there's an ability to compartmentalize. As for the person who phoned in that hoax, officers believe that the call came from Europe and that the proper law enforcement agencies are currently hunting down that jackass who's going to serve quite a bit of time behind bars if they catch him or her. Esports, more dangerous than the NFL? You decide. On second thought, I'm all right with that. I'm pretty okay with not getting a $3 million check for dominating Galaga if it means the SWAT team is going to run up on me and my stack of quarters at the local 818 arcade. Welcome to the 2019, everybody, where teenage video gamers are millionaires and pretty much unfazed by armed police busting into their room midstream, and especially if they finish and they win. Hey, bro, good news. Dad's not dead and mom's not tied up in the basement. Yeah, but did we win? Yeah, you won. Yeah! How about the fact that you didn't kill your dad and your mom's not tied up in the basement?
Wait,
yeah, anyway,
won?
Did we win?
Yeah, we won.
Yes! Yes!
Man, I gotta tell you something. Ding dong ditching. So 1981. TPing houses. So yesterday. Flaming bag of dog poop on the doorstep. Who cares? Smashing peanut butter all over the windshield of your car? That's whack. Hey, do me a favor. Save your Lyle and Eric emails. And no, I don't know which one had the wig and which one didn't. I don't know which one got married in the hole and which one didn't. I don't know which one ended up with a Porsche right after it happened or which one bought that or started that sub sandwich store. I don't know and I don't care. I'll save you the trouble. Dear Rome, I wish we were swatted. Signed, Lyle and Eric's parents. You know what? Still too soon. Yes, I understand how long ago that happened. Still too soon to make jokes about some teenagers who shotgunned their parents and then started to buy Porsches and Rolex watches not long thereafter. Not only that, they went to the same high school I did. So it hits a little too close to home. Still too soon. Hey, Rome, it's 2019. Right. And if I'm still doing this in 2039, it'll still be too soon. 12 Wood tweets. Was that audio of Booga getting swatted? Or Adam Hawk and Alvin DeLauro talking smack about Jim Rome while playing Mario Kart?
Jim is making me do the week that was in a four-day week. Dude. Aye.
Nice job, Wood. You know the Wood reached out to my son and asked him to be on his show? True story. Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath, bro. Honestly. Elijah Hoyfield coming up next.